it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
High noon, Jones and Keith, WEEI. Normally we talk to Tom E. Curran on a Tom E. Tuesday.
12 Central today for Tom E.
12 Central.
Yeah.
Is when we're going to talk to Tom E. Curran. Do you think?
That could be what it is.
Well, you think he's ducking us because of the J.J. McCarthy stuff? You think that's what it is?
Maybe the J.J. McCarthy stuff.
He's just mortified.
Maybe he was up all night watching Tom Brady's team play Monday Night Football, the second doubleheader I don't care for. I saw somebody, was it old friend of the show, Adam Rank? Somebody was like, this is what it should always be. It should always be doubleheader Monday Night Football. And I was like, it should never be doubleheader Monday Night Football.
I've heard that take before, and the reason for that is it helps it's from the league's perspective, it helps protect you against a crappy game.
Yeah.
You play two of them, then people won't be pissed if there's a dog crap Monday night game. Because you get a better late game or a better early game, and then it's not a bad game. So they're hedging their bets a little bit.
The 10 o'clock Monday night game is a late start.
I like the standalone game. I like a Thursday game.
Yeah.
I like a Monday night game. I like a Sunday night game. I'm not telling you I watch them every week.
Right? Like, hey, you're on Monday Night Football, and here comes Sergio Dipp.
I got to get...
And you're like, what?
Or Fowler, Riddick, Orlovsky.
No thanks.
Fowler with no voice.
I have another gripe for another day with Chris Fowler. But
what's your gripe with Fowler?
Stick to tennis is what I would say to Chris Fowler. I'd say when he gets on football broadcast, that includes college, not good.
And it's really true because he was like the main guy.
He's
for
great
game
on
day.
Tremendous he's awesome on game, game day. He should go ass. Back to that. I'm sure he's moved up in his career and he's well compensated and everything else.
He wants to do this because there was a time where he was just doing game day and he was awesome, and then he like sort of graduated to like the big college football game. And you're like, why is
he stinks
the
at
game?
It? Yeah, and apparently the one or two Monday night games he does, he stinks at even worse.
Yeah, he's really bad. It's still better than Rex Ryan, Beth Mowins, and Sergio Dipp. That was amazing.
All right, I'll give Fowler that. I'll give Chris Fowler that.
I still remember where I was. That was a where I was moment, and I was locked in because they go to this guy, deer in headlights. He panics. He does the whole spiel.
Were we not working together at night when that happened?
Because
I was
so.
1,000% still at night.
No, I don't. So I think I was at this station.
Because I think we played some of it.
And here he is.
After the fact.
Having the time of his life.
So that was Broncos Raiders, I think? It was definitely Broncos.
Because
it was Vance Joseph. But they... So they go to him early. I was like flabbergasted. I was like, I don't know how I caught that. I watched the rest of the game.
Just for him.
They got to go back to him, right? No. Never went back to him. He was a one and done that whole night.
Beth, coach, it's a pleasure to be with you guys here on the field from up close, just watching Coach Vance Joseph from here. You watch him now on the screen.
This was Boom Goes the Dynamite, but on Monday Night Football. And I was like, this is electric.
On live national television.
You're watching him on the screen. Yeah. So he's like telling us we're doing.
And here he is having the time of his life this night, making his head coaching debut.
Prepare anything?
That's a little editorializing there.
Yeah, right.
But the first part was accurate.
You're speaking for him.
You're watching him on the screen.
You are watching him on the screen. This is a televised game. I'm here. I'm here. You guys aren't. You're watching it on a screen. I loved every second of that, and they never, ever went back to him.
They were
like, what if somebody gets hurt? Are they going to go to him?
More Beth Mowins. They're like, you know what? Less Sergio, more Beth and Rex.
And then we're talking about Fowler being like fish out of water when he goes from doing like the round table where he's great to the game where he's not as good. Rex Ryan, same thing. Rex Ryan, he's like calling Mike McDaniel nerd boy. He's like super comfortable in like the first take set.
Yeah.
Then you put him in a game. He, like, panics. It's like he's doing – he's, like, so quiet, no energy. You're like, what has happened to these guys?
Once again, should we offer our services for any play-by-play and analyst needs?
Yeah.
Well, we should offer our services for that. We are available.
I would be happy to.
We are open and willing.
Fly us out to L.A. for the next doubleheader on Monday Night Football?
Good question about the doubleheader. If you're going to have a doubleheader, remember when for a couple of years they were toying around with staggering them versus – each game is you know, you get like the full window for each
like
game.
Yeah, like a 7:30 and like a 9 or something like that.
And then you flip over at halftime. If you're going to have two, I'd rather be able to watch them both in their entirety than have to flip back and forth halfway through the game.
Yeah, but that just takes away of the appeal and the showcase game. But I also feel like over the years, I don't know if it's just ESPN and NBC and how they fight over it or whatever, but the better game is almost always Sunday night, at least on paper.
Yep.
It's like Sunday night, like, wow. And so they finally changed it where they're allowing Monday night to also flex games too, right?
Yep. And but, they have better broadcasters now, Buck and Aikman, so that
helps. Yeah, they have better broadcasters. But like, I feel like they usually have a lot of bad games.
Yeah.
They somehow do have like kind of stinkers. But
So look, I think the Patriots play on Monday night against the Giants this year.
Like they picked that at the beginning of the year. They're like, give me Pat's
Giants.
That's
one they can flex out?
Good question. December 1st, week 13, so maybe they can.
Where is it?
It's here.
Yeah, so there's no Kraft will never allow that to get flexed off. There's it doesn't matter. And I guess they did get flexed off Sunday night a couple of years ago. But
in a 3 week span, the Patriots play. Yeah,
maybe I shouldn't say Kraft. Maybe Kraft doesn't have that influence anymore, but I doubt
that'll
get flexed.
That's true. They had a Taylor Swift game. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, the Chiefs game, yeah.
Jets week 11 is a Thursday night game, and then Pats. So like the Patriots are the better team in two of these games late in the year on primetime television.
I mean, I don't know. Russ was just throwing for 450 this last weekend. I don't think he's going to be playing on Monday Night Football.
He was slinging it. Do they have their coach and or quarterback in week 13?
Definitely not the quarterback. Is Daboll still there? That's a good question. 617-779-7937. We mentioned this a couple of times, but Geno Smith looked up much more pedestrian, not against the Patriots defense. So make of that what you will. I also think Justin Herbert looks like he's moving really, really well. That's probably the better high-end comp. It's still a very high-end comp for Drake May than Josh Allen. And speaking of Drake May, we played you the rushing touchdown there from 6 yards out where he gets into the end zone. We came in yesterday, Keith, applauding the mobility, applauding the decision to let him roll out more, bootleg more. They still didn't design a ton of runs for him, but he ran it 10 times. A couple of them were kneel downs, but he ran it 10 times. He had one 13-yarder. He had the touchdown there.
Uh-huh.
So they let Drake May be more athletic, more explosive, be the player that you drafted him to be. And we applauded that yesterday. And we came in yesterday knowing Joe Burrow was going to be out probably for the year, but at least for the next 3 months, turf toe. We came in yesterday knowing that Justin Fields was going to be in concussion protocol. And then we found out through the course of the day, other quarterbacks getting hurt. Jaden Daniels may not play this weekend. J.J. McCarthy, high ankle sprain, going to miss maybe 3-4 games. So all of a sudden you look at it and you go, well, these quarterbacks are getting hurt. Do the people who say, you shouldn't let Drake May run, and we want to see him slide and protect himself like we did in week one. Do those people have a point based on the rash of injuries we've seen at the QB position?
So I don't think so, just because you're still trying to get the most out of these quarterbacks. And I think, you know, there's a difference between just like playing scared but also playing smart. And I think as these quarterbacks get a little bit older, they usually have a pretty good idea of what to do. I think Lamar Jackson, now that's high end, the guy was the MVP of the league, but he was even more of a runner. Like, he was a straight up runner. The guy had 1,000-yard seasons, but even he has sort of known how to limit the number of hits he has taken. Jaden Daniels hasn't, it's not all on him. Like, his offensive line's not very good, and it wasn't great last year either, but he takes so many hits. So he needs to know that he just can't take that many hits. I don't think his body can handle it. We had a texter earlier. Is like, is this going to turn into like Robert Griffin III all over again?
Like that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
They were both electric as rookies, and then I don't know. They just continue to take a lot of hits, and the wear and tear kind of gets to you. Because I would say 9 out of the top 10 like quarterback seasons, if you will, from last season were guys that were willing to run, guys that ran a lot. They didn't play scared, and they all played in every game.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jalen Hurts missed a couple of games, but all the other top guys played. And they weren't like, hey, Lamar and Josh Allen and Kyler Murray and Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels, like, don't run. Don't run. Don't do that. There's also another part of it, too, another layer. We brought this up earlier, but, like, you do need to protect the quarterback, which goes back to why the fourth overall pick in the draft was a left tackle for the Patriots and it wasn't something else.
Look, I wanted two players at pick four. At least over Will Campbell. Genty has looked atrocious. Yeah. I also like Tyler Warren, who's been better, but I mean, what would you rather have, a tight end or a guy who looks like he could be at least a league average tackle and maybe better than that? in Will Campbell. You know, if you're talking about position scarcity and need on this team, you know, you make the case for the left tackle. Campbell's been good.
Yeah.
He had a bunch of penalties week one. Mm-hmm. He had a false start last week. But if you look at the Pro Football Focus grades and things like that, Bedard, we read you the comment from Bedard earlier that both he and Wilson were better than the veterans this past week. They were nearly flawless. So, yeah, so far it's only two games.
Yeah.
But through two games, he looks like he belongs. He looks like a good pick.
Yeah, no, he does. And even Jared Wilson, big bounce back game for him. He wasn't great in week one. Week two, he looks a whole lot better. It feels like there's a chance we might see Marcus Bryant in week three. Morgan Moses walking around in a boots. He might have three rookies out there. But if they could play, they could play. Because some of these other quarterbacks that you mentioned and the guys that are already hurt this season, they have bad offensive lines. And it is something that, like, we kind of were able to look the other way from it for 20 years because with the exception of 2008, Tom Brady played week one and played all the way through the season and just kept moving on, moving on, moving on. But this isn't like a new phenomenon. I mean, every single year, it felt like the Patriots would take advantage of when Team X's quarterback went down and you're not facing the backup. Remember even like the Boogeyman defense, which was like a fake good defense?
Yeah.
They just destroyed Ellinger. They destroyed all these backup quarterbacks because that's what the league was.
That was the Max Zappe year. We were actually talking about this the other day.
Yeah.
There was a year
where all it was backups.
Where it was, you know, Mac got the high ankle sprain, speaking of quarterback injuries, early in the year. Zappe comes in. He wins a couple of games. He replaces Mac. I think it was Monday Night Football against the Bears, right? Monday night or Sunday night? Primetime game.
Yep.
Monday night, I think.
I don't know where they got smoked.
Well, but Zappe came in and threw a couple of touchdowns,
and then
they went back to Mac. And Mac won a few games, and us Zappe people were saying, well, they're playing nobody. It's all these banged-up a-hole quarterbacks.
It's all bad quarterbacks, yeah.
They took advantage of it. So, yeah, I mean, we used to take the health of a quarterback for granted. And in fairness to the people who don't want to see Drake May run, and there's a lot of you, the people who don't want him to be, I don't even want to say a run-first quarterback, but they don't want to put him in harm's way.
Yeah.
And to put it a certain way, they want to baby him. Well, May had to leave a game last year with a concussion where he didn't come back. There was another game that he left against the Rams late in the year that he returned to, the Chargers late in the year that he returned to. So I understand people saying that. I disagree with them, but I think they have a point. When you look at all these quarterbacks, Jaden Daniels, knee sprain, might miss this week. What's he going to look like when he comes back? A mobile quarterback with a bum knee.
Not great.
How's that going to look when he comes
combo.
Back?
Yeah, put a big knee brace on him.
So even if he's back in, call it this weekend, he's not 100%. What does he look like? That takes away a lot of his game. Justin Fields is different level of quarterback in shorter term. He's in concussion protocol. Brock Purdy is out for who knows how long. Mac Jones is in for him with a shoulder and turf toe injury. Turf toe took down Joe Burrow probably for the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
And who's the, McCarthy is the other one. Which, by the way, you see who's replacing him?
Oh, no.
Carson Wentz?
Oh, they have Wentz.
Carson Wentz. Yeah, they traded Sam Howell like after the preseason.
That's right. That's right.
That's Drake May's bud.
I know.
That's Drake May's best
friend.
That's my best friend. That's why he was overhyped in the Minnesota game and somehow against the Raiders as well.
He's all gassed up.
Yeah.
So a team facing the Patriots should just sign Sam Howell. And then that way he'll be a little freaked out, a little gassed up. But yeah, all right. So the Carson Wentz project, we'll get another look at that. But I mean, the league has already done everything they can to take out quarterback injuries outside of just turning it into flag football. Tom Brady's flag football, like that's the next step. Like if you really, really, really want to just get rid of all quarterback injuries, I think that's what you have to do.
617-779-7937. Two quick items on Christian Gonzalez. Keith, we were talking about Gonzo right before the top of the hour.
That's right.
Two tweets came in. I find them both to be interesting.
Two tweets.
One from our pal, Matt Jensen. He says, guys, Gonzo literally said he had a setback.
He did?
On Instagram, his song, Keith.
Oh, that's right.
We've been saying, well, what does it sound like again?
They get back a
okay.
All right, so just to...
We interpreted that
as... Get back a mother MF-er. Bleeper. Yeah.
We interpreted that as he's about to be back. We were clearly
Turns
wrong.
Turns out setback.
What he's saying
I'm not back. I got a setback.
The get back is an MF-er. He's acknowledging that it was a setback.
Okay.
And that's what he was trying to tell us with that Instagram post.
As good a guess as any.
They get back a
We were 1,000% wrong. We said he was going to be back. We thought that meant he was going to be back. We clearly didn't know how to interpret
that.
Got
anything else?
On Instagram? I think he did have something today,
actually.
Yeah, what was it?
New week, new blessings.
That's promising.
And a picture of him in not a uniform, but a cutoff hoodie. Cut off Patriots hoodie.
Yeah, I don't love that.
He's smiling, though.
Oh, he is. He does look happy. New blessing.
Yep. New week, new blessing.
New week, new blessing.
It's true.
Meanwhile, our guy Ray in Cumberland also tweeted this, Keith. This is good.
Okay. What do you got?
My buddy is protecting his source.
Oh, boy.
He doesn't want to get in trouble, but he swears to me Vrabel and Gonzo had to be separated.
All right.
Okay. The what?
No, okay. Just add it to the table. Like,
yeah, this is,
we obviously can't confirm nor deny that.
Didn't we have the mailman who went by Josh McDaniels' home, right? What did we have way back when? We had a good scoop on that.
Oh, we did.
Yeah,
have.
We also had the guy that's like, Devers is looking for Yankee or looking for first base. Well, look,
I didn't say we got them all right.
All right.
But I don't want to turn the blind that when a buddy like ours, Ray,
yep, loves the show,
is passing along this information, I want to make sure that I pass it along.
Or we'll add it.
But yeah, the Josh McDaniels one was like, oh, he's been out real early getting his paper.
Yeah,
that's true. Early bird gets the worm.
Pretty accurate. Is
he's
what it
like
was.
He wants to be the
well, wasn't getting his paper and they were stacking up. I can't remember, but it was some guy driving by with
the
newspapers.
He wasn't picking up his newspaper. That's what it was, I think.
Yeah, either way, there was some intel associated with Josh McDaniels.
Okay, so let's track that one.
All right. I'm on it.
617-779-7937. We can continue with the offense as well. Apparently, we're not allowed to second guess anything they did offensively because they beat the what?
Uh-oh.
What?
In the context of that song, according to the text line, that
what?
Get back a mother bleeper means getting back at someone. So that would be getting back at the organization?
Oh, can we hear it one more time? Let's see. Can we just listen to that in that context now one more time? They get back a I think him and Vrabel had to be separated. now that I hear it, I think that's what's going on.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.